Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Okay, welcome to another edition of Critical Issues, where we look for the solution of the day. And to try to improve our everyday lives. This is your host, Henry Hasid, and all I can say is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and Alhamdulillah, 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 Alhamdulillah. I thank Allah for the first program to welcome back. Because most of us been on AM 360 all month of Ramadan here, listening to the juice that was recited. And today, since this is the first program back after the Eid there, we're going to dedicate it to your month of Ramadan. We want you to tell us how Ramadan was for you during the month. I do want to start off by saying I thank Allah, I thank Allah, I thank Allah. This was one of the easiest Ramadan I can say that looked like I've ever been through. For some reason, I never thought about the thirst. I didn't even get thirsty there. So I mean, it was just easy. Every morning was able to get up and didn't really have anything that prevented us from doing the fast. I think we had one day of travel that we had to travel in the month of Ramadan, but it started off beautiful. For us, we went out to site the Hilal on the beginning, and that was exciting and just to see that Hilal that we were there for. A lot of people that I talked with and heard during that time of that sighting was this was the first time being able to really see the Hilal and the excitement of it all. So we went into Ramadan with an exciting month. Everybody was excited about the Ramadan. And throughout the Ramadan, I mean, it was just great being able to finish each juice in the morning there with ease. And a lot of times in our reading there, sometime during that month of Ramadan, you would kind of fall behind a little bit, you know, and have maybe two or three or four or five juice that you had to make up. But this year, we was able to just with ease read all of the juice and finish the Quran and make our prayers and all. It was just so beautiful, and I thank Allah for how beautiful this Ramadan was. And then Allah blessed us through the end this year to have a sun eclipse with the moon. And we know what that is, that when the moon eclipses the sun, then we know that that's what's considered a new moon. So it was no problem that even though we had Muslims, I understand, from the different communities around the world, start on two different dates. But we all had to end on the same day. We all had to have the Eid on the same day. And I consider that a great blessing. Was no doubt in nobody's mind when the Eid was because of that. And I understand that only happened maybe 20, 25 years that we have that moon that eclipsed the sun there. And while other people were looking at it and the way that they looked at it, the Muslims were looking at it and seeing the blessing of Allah, knowing that they were getting ready to celebrate the end of the coming of Ramadan there. And even though, you know, our spirit be saying, we want to go on, this is just so nice. It's like a piece of heaven right here on earth, that it came a time that Allah said, you have fulfilled your duty. And now I want you to end this for this day. Even if you pick up and fast 10 days after this, you know, you had to come off of Ramadan yesterday there, and the Eid was so beautiful. My soul is so pleased and all with what it is. I thank Allah, and I know many of you out there thank Allah and can see the difference of what Ramadan has done in our life, especially this year. You know, we know the years that we've had the long, long days and there. And sometimes it was a little difficult for us there. Sometimes you got thirsty. I know I did in the middle of the day, and you wonder whether you're going to be able to make it to the end of the day. And Allah just blessed me this year. And I know many of you with the ease that when you never got thirsty once. Man, I mean, even in breaking the fast, it wasn't like I got to need some water there, you know. A lot of times I would forget to just do the water first, and that's usually what I usually go after, get me a bottle of water and then maybe eat a date. Now I was able to just take my time and maybe eat a date or so and just drink a little water to break the fast. So it was a blessed Ramadan, and I'm excited about this upcoming year and the things that we can accomplish individually and as a community. I think we got a new spirit that has been born, and Allah is showing us that, hey, that the leadership of this world is really going to have to come from the influence of the righteous people, the good people in this world, those who know. And you know, it says about those who know, we have to teach those who don't know. And we have to stop blaming those who don't know for not knowing. Until we teach them, then we know that they know. You know, they got a lot of things out there about that little saying, he that knows and knows that he knows, and he that knows not and knows not that he knows. So we know how all of those things, but this is the spirit and the year that those who know should share their knowledge with those who don't know. So we want to hear from you. We're going to take a pause right here now for you to get your thoughts together. We want to hear from you. How did Ramadan treat you? How was your Ramadan and the greatness of this Eid? And, you know, we're still in our 3 days of Eid. This would be the second day of our celebration of Eid in there. But we want to know how you did during the beautiful month of Ramadan. And we'll be right back after this brief pause for the calls.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the Bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
I say to that PSA, we back, and I'll say to that PSA, amen, amen, amen. We need to do a lot more sharing there. So we'd like to hear from you and for you to share with us how your Ramadan was this Ramadan. We do have a caller with their hands raised up. We see you. We're going to bring you right in to share with us about your Ramadan. Assalamu alaikum and Eid Mubarak. This is area code 914-434. Welcome to the program. And say your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, Mubarak. Muhammad Sharif, calling from Mount Vernon, New York. Eid Mubarak.
Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad. Good to hear from my brother.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, I look like I'm on it almost the same plane that you on this morning.
I know it. I feel it in my spirit. I feel it. This is exactly. Good. I can almost shout. I tell you, it's just great. It is great. But share with us about some of your experiences during this Ramadan.
First of all, this was the easiest Ramadan I've had, the same as you said, brother. The easiest Ramadan. I mean, I was up on all my prayers, all my reading of the Quran. Everything went so easy. I mean, this is the easiest one since we've been fasting.
I mean, Alhamdulillah.
Well, man. And also, he's speaking about the eclipse. And we found out Imam Yahya Abdullah is Jacksonville, Florida. He's one of the areas that will be doing the prayer that to make during the eclipse.
Yes.
And we were able to go and see
the
whole
prayer.
Program.
Right.
He's talking about taking us through the prayer and everything, the prayer that you should make during the eclipse.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was fantastic. I mean,
alhamdulillah.
Oh, alhamdulillah.
Praise be to Allah.
Praise be to Allah.
Alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the, I don't know how anyone may take this. When I woke up yesterday morning, for some reason, Gaza came to my mind. And I was saying there, look at what happened to the Palestinian people. You know, we've been watching on the news everywhere. And those three vehicles that were destroyed, people killed. And it's like I said that when I woke up yesterday morning, I was just saying, you know, maybe, like I said, I don't know how people are going to take this, but maybe we shouldn't even have a E yesterday. I said, thinking on what happened to people in Gaza, what's happening to them? I was thinking maybe we just had a protest yesterday. All these everywhere, so we are not going to do the E today. Maybe we'll do it tomorrow, but not today. I mean, that kind of stayed with me for a while until yesterday moved on up, and I had a little different thoughts on that. But
yes,
you know,
I was going to bring that up also, but. All throughout Ramadan, that definitely touched and still touched my heart and spirit of this. And believe it or not, Muhammad, suffering has been going on every Ramadan Eid. It just has not been highlighted. And Allah is causing this to come to be highlighted that the world is seeing it and this killing, how human can be so inhumane and killing another human being. And it brings me back to, because that's a touchy subject in my heart. And you know, I can only watch so much of it. It's just despicable, you know, of what is being allowed to go on with human beings and then the children, the innocent children. Not just the innocent people, but the little children. They said over half of those killed. Now, you know, in war, and the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he instructed the Muslims not to harm the women and the children, even the plants. And here we got people with such unhumanity that Allah has caused us to feel during this great month of Ramadan, our humanity even more and more, but he's showing us that there still exists on this earth people who do not look at other human beings as human beings. And I think we're in the best position to feel it as African Americans who went through excuse me, my emotion gets up a little bit.
I don't understand.
Because we know what we went through, and this is why we have to begin to speak out on these things. We cannot be so dedicated to anyone except Allah when it comes to speaking the truth and speaking out on what is right against wrong. So I encourage all of us to do that, but that was one of the touchy issues that we've seen. And I think it really needs to be looked into because it's a lot of unanswered questions on how this war got started. And to me, it was not, it is not a war of the right to defend yourself. And I don't even think it started off like that. And I think when it really looked into, because you don't hear those who were asking those questions in the beginning of how this thing got started, why this particular day, security and all of that, why 6/7/9, all of those questions got to be answered, and they need to be answered now. There's some people that get on and say, well, we'll look into it after this is after we destroy everybody. We'll look into this. No, it's time to look into it right now, and we need to be calling for that. But, Muhammad, I want to leave your mic open. So if you got, but I want to bring in our next caller here for them to share with us some of their experience during Ramadan.
Oh, all right.
So hold on. Caller, we see you at 727-408. Welcome to the program. State your name and where you're calling from, and tell us about your experience during this great month of Ramadan.
Assalamu alaikum. Blessed Eid. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. This has been a very uplifting and disciplined Ramadan that I have experienced. And I'm thankful to Allah for realizing that as a community and a group of people serving Allah, that we want to become more close to our knowledge of Quranic, Arabic, the Islamic sciences, Tawheed, the basis of our religion. These are the things that Imam Muhammad wanted for us, especially when the children that he had sent over, our children who went over to study overseas. And when they came back, Imam Muhammad had many of our elders in the religion, our imams, and he had them on the platform with them, and he had the young people down there, and he said, what they went and got, he said, that's what you need to get to move and graduate and put the community forward. And being that Imam was basically, he was, may Allah forgive him his sins and give him one of the highest places in Jannah, that he was disappointed in the fact that the leaders, that they didn't really get into the studies that he had wanted for them to graduate the community to move forward as a leader so the people would follow and their knowledge of their religion. So praise be to Allah, I had been able to want to share my thoughts on that so we can, you know, just push forward as a community. And Imam Muhammad is addressing, he did in a line in 2001 dealing with the Night of Power. And he said the fact that what it is, he said, we have an urge that Allah give us to be productive, to grow our community life. And he said we have to look forward to moving in arenas, you know, of the basic tenets of our religion, and go forward and establish community that's for ourselves and grow and prosper. We should be as servants of Allah, and knowing that this is the way of going about to be productive and doing this. So praise be to Allah for a very good and successful Ramadan, and we look forward to many good efforts to come out in our growth and development, and Allah will allow us to have this and remain excellent servants of His, because this is what He wants for the believers. So praise be to Allah, and I'm thankful to Allah for being part of a great community as the one of Imam Walter D. Muhammad, one who want unity amongst all Muslims, and also unity amongst the Abrahamic faith, and learning the basic knowledge of our religion and moving forward with that, with the thought of unifying ourselves as an ummah, serving Allah and Allah alone. So alhamdulillah, bless us be assets of our community and serving to the general public and move forward to advance al-Islam in the world. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum, Malaya. We appreciate that. And
great information and sharing your experience. I'm going to leave your mic open just in case you have something else, because I know in a few minutes we talk, you can't tell everything and it comes back to you. So I'm going to leave your mic open there and just let us know. But I'll bring in the next caller here, area code 727-741. Welcome to the program, Eid Mubarak. Say your name and where we're calling from.
Eid Mubarak, and I'm calling from, my name is Martha Nyla Abdullah, and I'm calling from St. Petersburg, Florida, and oh, praise be to Allah. I am standing outside right at this moment, Imam Henry Hasib, to you and your family, greetings, of course, and to all our listeners, and I'm looking at the sky now. There's clouds with black clouds moving, you know, rain clouds moving across the sky. And just to know that from the eclipse and going through the month of Ramadan, starting the month of Ramadan, you know, the first week of like, oh, no, this is the first time I had to miss 3 days, you know, involving traveling.
Oh.
And I didn't want to, you know, and I said, okay, what are you going to do? How are you going to show that example, you know, should anybody ask? Why are you eating? Aren't you fasting? But I was traveling, so, you know, it brings about education. But alhamdulillah, in the month of Shawwal, inshallah, we'll make up those days. But going through it, it was, yes, very easy. The salivary glands suffice. I didn't even have to think about getting thirsty, like you mentioned, because my salivary glands began to secrete, and I took notice of that. And then helping persons in need was more abundant. At this time, and beyond, you know, getting paid for it, you know, it just reaching out and helping those in need. It was right at the doorway for me. So praise be to Allah, and reading through the Quran in Arabia. Oh wow, what a blessing! And you're right, and kept trying to catch up when you're reading it only in Arabia, but then the ability to listen and have the juice read also helped. And I'm thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything. And then concluding yesterday with a connection, seeing the work in the community and how the various communities have come together through the efforts of our just reaching out and knowing that this is not a black thing, it's not a white thing, it's not a yellow thing, red thing. This is Allah's thing command to humanity, to help humanity in its way. So yesterday, I really, it brought tears to my eyes because I really saw Asia, Africa, North America, South America, and individuals who now you've gotten to know them. When other times, you know, alhamdulillah. So the beauty is all included in everything of the people and their personalities and just accepting people the way they are and then reading, looking at the signs in Allah's creation, good morning, with the plants and the trees and all of that, and seeing the new birth. And so, alhamdulillah, stop right there. As-salamu alaykum.
Alhamdulillah. You're right. We have to really, really count our blessings and how blessed we are. You know, Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, he says, if you want to see how blessed you are, say, don't look up, look down. And when you look down, you know, you're complaining about you don't have any shoes. But then there's a person that may not have any feet. And I've seen and noticed and took notice of that look like the person who don't have any feet is so much happier than the person that's complaining about they don't have any shoes. And I've been telling my clients this year they know each one of them that come to me that I don't see them but once a year or so, most of the time. So I got to take time to give them a lesson. And I spend more time giving them a lesson than I do doing their taxes. And I always tell them, well, it's your fault you don't come around but once a year. If you came around more often, then I wouldn't have to take much time with you. Not your taxes, but you. So, But I was telling them it's time for us to begin to look at the good in each other and stop complaining about all of the bad. Yeah, there's bad things, you know. There's so much that we can blame each other for. But let's take time to look at the good. Instead of saying, hey, it starts in the home, it's the parents' fault. It's just, let's not look at the fault. Let's try to teach the parents so they can teach their children. So let's try to bring the good out of human beings so they can live up to what being a human being is, because we have to realize that we have human beings right in our neighborhoods, in our community, who have really never experienced what a human being really is. And we have to help them, not just criticize them. We have to help them, at least give them an opportunity. Now, there's all different ways to do that, but Allah has blessed us with a new year, a new start, a new spirit, and we should take that spirit and want to share that with others. So I just wanted to add that to it. But this is a great opportunity, especially for those who Allah has blessed with the knowledge and to how these things are to happen. We got to respect each other for knowledge. One thing I can say, that most Muslims that I have ran to, at least they have not lost their common sense. Now, I know everything has got exceptions to the rule, but the most of the Muslims that I talk to, we got common sense, and the biggest problem I see in the world today is the lack of common sense and wanting to justify wrong, looking for ways to defend and justify wrong. And if we can get rid of those excuses and start working and racing toward all that is good. And as you know, our theme that we've been talking on is weaning the bad so that good can flourish. And that's a process. That means we have to replace knowledge, bad knowledge, with good knowledge. We don't have to force it on people, just share it with them. Because you're going to find out a lot of times they will tell you that, hey, you know, they never thought of it like that. They never saw it like that. And just give them, you know, what you can share with them, and you'll be surprised of what it will start doing for the people in the world here. They need us, and we have, as one brother says, we have the prescription. We got the medicine to heal the world. So we are not in any position just to criticize without giving them the medicine to heal that. So I just wanted to add that, and we certainly appreciate you sharing your Ramadan, that a beautiful month. Allah, I believe, has increased our spirit and forgave us our sins, and we got a new start in life and starting off a new year, as they say. So let's exercise and make the best of it by working together. And now he has given us communication that we can work all across the United States. We don't even have to spend all the money we used to have to spend to be able to communicate with each other. And you can do it almost as well as you do there. You know, they got all kinds of communication that we can do, Zoom and just all different stuff, that you can talk to people in real time without delays and that. It's just beautiful. And let's take advantage of these things and put what we know is right out here in society. Because in order for a human being to have choices, you got to give them information. Because some have been in an environment where they don't feel like they have ever had a choice. We gotta give them information so they can choose. So I do appreciate that, and I appreciate that information. I'm going to leave your mic open also. So if you want to chime back in, just let me know. But we're going to bring our next caller in at area code 334-414. Welcome to the program. Eid Mubarak. State your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. Eid Mubarak, Michael Hamid.
Assalamu alaikum, my brother Michael.
Jackson.
Eid Mubarak.
Jackson,
Eid Mubarak.
And I pray you and your family are receiving the best of the Eid blessings. And I appreciate what you're doing. You know, we've been friends and colleagues for a number of years now. And I'm down here with our friend Imam Yahya Abdullah. And I know he wants me to send the greetings of Eid Mubarak to you. So thank you for what you're doing here. The need to focus on what will please Allah and what will please us, to be pleased and pleasing. Allah says that that's the highest goal for the soul, nafsin mutmaina. And my Ramadan was very good. I consider it, with even with the shortcomings of it, to have been a very wonderful blessing and educational experience. I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot. I'm learning, still learning, about us as a people, a group of people, and the things that we need to ask Allah for. You know, I found it over the years. My soul gave me a sense that there were certain issues that I couldn't get to directly. You know, and I felt like my auntie, my mother's sister, my auntie's advice that I need to help somebody would be a way for me to get help for myself. So I'll stop there, and thank you for what you're doing. Assalamu alaikum and Eid Mubarak.
Alhamdulillah. We thank Allah for you and all of the hosts on AM 360 that make the sacrifice to communicate with the people. I mean, I think this is one of the best programs. We got other programs that's great too, but this is one of the best programs that we got for communicating not only with Muslims, and we have to consciously make an effort to tell other human beings about the program. You'll be surprised of the knowledge that we take for granted. I think that everybody knows, even a lot of times we think all of the Muslims know, that sharing this knowledge. And I think one of the problems we got is because we try to beat each other up over the head with it, as they say, rather than going out sharing with people who don't know. And you'll be surprised the reception you get, that it touches their souls so that they can't help but to listen to you. Not that they got to agree with everything that you say, but when you break it down to them, you'll be surprised. It's like, you know, what it said about how the jinn was listening to the recitation of the Quran and how their spirit felt. And this is how you will feel the people's spirit, that when you tell them this, you know, it's something like they never heard, never thought of before. And
Henry,
they will thank you a lot for it. Yes.
You know, Allah tells us.
Michael?
Allah tells us, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Allah tells us to honorably pass by folks that want to engage us in foolishness, you know, to pass them by. If it's a Muslim, whoever it is, if they want to take up your time, be showstoppers and foot draggers, let them have that. You know, you go on in your lane. And, you know, we shouldn't waste a lot of time with people who are time wasters, you know. If they don't have, you know, if it's not a constructive criticism, and they're people that are actually trying to help the problem, help the situation, help the environment, help the community focus, then that's one thing. But we got, you know, we have people that are going to challenge us, you know, that they're immature and they want to just get in the way. And if we got one or two mm-hmm. people that we can work with, we should thank Allah and keep on stepping.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I believe that's going to have to be our attitude this year to do that. And that's how we wean the bad so the good can flourish there.
I sincerely
believe with all my heart and soul that there are more good people on this earth than there are bad people.
Yes.
And with that attitude, then we got to go and look for these good people, even though we may run into some of the bad people there, as you say. Let's not waste any time with them.
Yeah.
Because
we can't be ashamed.
That, mm-hmm. We can't be ashamed.
Can't be ashamed of Allah. Allah, in fact, there's a hadith about that. That if we show that we are ashamed mm-hmm. of Him, then when we come before Him, He will show us, you know, and be ashamed mm-hmm. ashamed of us, you know. You know, we have to show a gratitude in terms of our actions for what Allah has given us.
Right.
And we don't have to be, you know, speakers. If we just recognize the value of AM360, if we would just mm-hmm. recognize the value and lend our support by sharing mm-hmm. what Allah has blessed us with in terms of conversation and sharing from out of our pockets, you know, and inviting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't have any money to give, invite people. That's even more valuable, in my opinion.
Right. You're right. Well,
thank you.
We certainly, and we're going to have to get together and see how we can put these strategies together to do that, because we all got some great ideas, and if we talk to each other and communicate more on how to do it and respect each other's knowledge. It's not that I know more than you or you know more than me. That none of that's important. It's that if you're using the knowledge in which Allah bless you with, so the man who uses his knowledge, even if he got a little bit, if he uses knowledge, then he's more important than the man who got all of the knowledge and used none. And I do see we got a couple more callers, but we're going to take a PSA break here, and then we're going to be right back to continue the subject. But thank you so much, Michael, for those encouraging words and bringing what Ramadan has done for you. Assalamu alaikum. We'll be right back.
Assalamu alaikum, and thank you for supporting the CWSC AM360 annual Ramadan Telethon, which helps us financially secure our intelligentsia operations. And some of those operations are as follows: the American Muslim 360 Broadcasting Network, Speakers Bureau, Online National Resource Directory, Volunteer Human Resource Network, the Think Tank, College Scholarship Program, Team, working together, such as with the Learning Lab, Interfaith and Interfaith Collaborative, Internship and Leadership Development Program, Ambassador Program, and International Collaborative. Please visit us online to see more of the intelligentsia and the annual report. For your mailing in your donation, you can send it to CWSC Inc., Marina Village, 4905 34th Street South, number 185, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33711-4511. Make your check or money order payable to CWSC Inc. Thank you, and stay tuned for more information on the Ramadan Telethon.
All right, okay, we are back here, there, And for those that who didn't get an opportunity to do that, and I know I'm planning, I was just going through just the beauty of Ramadan, so, and I was intending to send in the donation then, and I have not done that, but I will pull my little pennies together, and I will support, because this is a worthy cause, I do believe, with all my heart and spirit, that is worth supporting. And I think we can use it as a mechanism, a vehicle, as Brother Michael was saying, in order to get. So we should support. Whatever good you support, I support you in it. We're going to bring our caller back in, and then I think we got our brother Mark Shaheed right after that. Area code 727-404. Welcome back to the program. And state your name. And let's see, I'm trying to bring you in. It's wording, but there we go. I think you're on now. So did you have another comment?
Assalamu alaikum. This is Bilal again.
Assalamu alaikum. Oh, this is Brother Bilal. Okay. Yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
Did you have another comment?
Yes, you know, Alhamdulillah. We ask Allah to bless us to be the best Abdullah we can be, because we know that is the best. And alhamdulillah, and we see good in this world and in hereafter. And worship is work. And alhamdulillah, we put in the work and we look forward and accept the decree of Allah. That's for us. So praise be to Allah, and alhamdulillah, and may Allah pay the blessings in all our righteous deeds and endeavors. I mean, assalamu alaikum.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum. I'll leave your mic open still, Bilal. All right, we have our next call, I believe, is our brother Mark at 314-833. Eid Mubarak.
Yes, Eid Mubarak. Assalamu alaikum to you, Henry Hasti.
Assalamu alaikum.
To your very distinguished radio listen audience at AM 360 Radio, Mark Shaheed from the STL, the Gateway City of St. Louis, and the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah, that the praise and the thanks belongs to God first and foremost, always. Listening and tuning in a little late this morning, but everything I've heard have been all good. They say all good. You know, my thing for almost 7 years have been fasting in the month of Ramadan while feasting on the Quran. So, you know, as we fast in the month of Ramadan and being obedient to the parameters been set by Almighty God Allah, each and every day we are feeding on the Quran and so much that Allah is given to us, and to recognize that Allah is the only one that's speaking in the Quran. Allah is the only one speaking in the Quran. When we read the Quran, He's speaking to us individually. He's speaking to us as family, speaking to us as community in the collective. And so when he says to us, "O you who believe," how do we see ourselves as a believer? And, you know, for me, as everything that he is instructing us to do, and that's what ayats are. Ayats are more than just verses, as Imam Muhammad said. They're signs, but they're more than signs. They're instructing signs. Allah has given us instructions, the instruction of our life. And so for me, it means to me that there's obligation and responsibilities that we have. You know, what is repeated after established regular prayer is spend out of that which we have provided for you. So Allah says this repetitively throughout the Quran, spend out of that which we have provided for you. In other words, give that which we have provided for you. And it's not always, somebody has said earlier, it's not always, I believe Michael might have said it, it's not always money. But Allah has given us other things. And listen to your comments, you're right on point, because the world needs correct information. The world needs correct information for to have the right formation of their life, the right form, that original form that God gave to us and has given to the rest of creation, you know, to keep the pattern that was given to the human being. And we're constructing on the same pattern that the whole of creation has been formed on. Allah tells us that in 3030, and Allah says, do not change it. So, you know, in this blessed month of Ramadan, it enables us to be able to get back to that original pattern, the original pattern, you see. And that original pattern, as Imam Muhammad has enlightened us, is willing obedience. Willing obedience. This is for the salvation of all of humanity. So to your point, Brother Henry, we're obligated to convey that message to all human beings. That's where the problem is. There's no more consciously regardfulness for Allah's word that embodies his will and his way for us to live together in a civilized human society, you see. And we've seen this each and every day when we turn on our local radio stations, if we're getting local news, whether we're getting national news and international news, we're being bombarded, as you say, with all the bad things. And so then now fear is operating in our lives. And many, yeah, I'm not saying all of us, because generality is never the reality, but many are afraid to speak up and to speak out. So this is a part of our religion too, as we know the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that when you see a wrong, you're to change it with your hand. I mean, you take action against it. And if you can't do that, you have to at least speak up and to speak out against it. I was so elated when I heard Kareem Hamid on AM360 to read what was issued by the conveners of imams and the national convener of imams. Most recently on AM360, the position and disposition that we, the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, are taking in the Palestinian situation. Well, we know that's wrong. We know that's wrong. It's no ands, ifs, and buts about it. It's wrong. You understand the genocide that's happening and the innocent people, women and children, the injured and all losing their lives. And it's wrong here in the United States when yesterday in Philadelphia, you know, celebrating the Eid, about 1,000 people gathered. And here there was about 5 individuals shooting into that crowd, 30 shots in all. You know, and praise be to Allah, the report that I got, there was no one that was killed. But these are the type of things that should strike our consciousness. Our consciousness in terms of the role and responsibility, the obligation that we all have. And you're absolutely right, you know. And the solution is in the Quran. I mean, this is what it is that we have to extrapolate. And I know Brother Michael said, you know, where the rubber meets the road. You know, ideas are funny little things. They won't work unless you do. I think we all have the same idea. We should have the same concept that the solution, the antidote, the medicine for the social ills that we're experiencing in this country is in the Quran. And this is what it is that we have to take to the people that are in darkness. Mm-hmm. Yes, you know, they was talking about the eclipse, and people was traveling all across the country to different ports of the country just to witness that. But we have to know that that's a sign, and it sends a spiritual message to us. It sends a social message to us that when there is darkness and total darkness in the land. You see, the Muslim, we pray. We pray at that particular time. Imam W.D. Muhammad has given us insight in terms of the sun representing enlightenment, but also representing revelation for the advancement of the human society, the advancement of human society. Allah, you know, gives it in the Quran in terms of for what the daytime is for, you know, for our productivity, where we can produce in our life and advance human life. As we know in science, and most of us know general science, the moon has no light of its own. The moon has no light of its own. When we see the moon, it is reflecting the light of the sun. Imam Muhammad said the moon represents the messengers. All of God's messengers, they had no light of their own, not even the universal messenger and the seal of the prophets, Muhammad ibn Abdullah. But they all reflect the light of the sun. They reflected the revelation that was given to them that they actually give to others in terms of moonlight. And so he also said that this represents, you understand, the spiritual life for the human being. So the moon, you understand, being in front of the sun and blocking that, or just total eclipse of darkness, is actually saying that we have to bring the light. We as individuals, as human beings, conscious human beings, conscious or regardful of Allah's signs, in that are signs for those who reflect, that the light of revelation, the light of enlightenment, has to be brought to a dark world. I asked the question, have you ever seen the time, and this is for all of us, have we ever seen a time when we have seen any more darkness than what we see today? Darkness represents ignorance that we see today.
Mm-hmm.
And what will remove the ignorance? So I know I said a lot, but I'm just really kind of from Ramadan and from the Eid, just kind of really, really have ignited something in my soul, in my heart, and in my mind, that the obligation, that's the point, obligation, responsibility that we have to go to work and, as you say, come together and choose the best thereof in terms of the strategy that we have to do in terms of reaching all of humanity that's in a total eclipse of darkness and ignorance. I'll stop there. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah.
Eid Mubarak, everyone.
Eid Mubarak, and we appreciate those encouraging words. And maybe we're going to have to, because like I said, we got the modern form of communication. And I thank all of those, first of all, that called in and shared your experiences. You can go ahead and press 1 on your phone because we got about a minute and a half here before our next program here. But I thank Allah for all of you all that there. But we're gonna have to form a group where we can have discussions, because we can discuss these issues more, so we can discuss how to put them into practices and share with us how you're putting them into practice in maybe your area there. So Michael and Mark, if you'll press 1 on your phone so we get ready for the next show there in there. But we're gonna have to do that, and we got communication way that makes all of that easy now, that whatever you like to do, you can form a group like that. And we need to form good groups, because we got so many bad groups that's formed out here. I mean, you look on there, you got all kinds of groups with different interests. So it's time for us to form some groups that we can form with good interests. It's been great being with you. I'm so happy to be back here after Ramadan. And inshallah, we will begin our programming, our regular programming, next Thursday, God be willing, to bring to you another edition of Critical Issues. Until then, may Allah bless all of you. And we're going to now bring in our brother Adam B. Yad who will take us into money sense. Assalamu alaikum.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Allah Barakatuh. Eid Mubarak, everyone. I hope and pray everybody had a blessed Ramadan, and you enjoy the excellent fruits of the fast, and we're ready to go out into the world with a renewed spirit to establish our Muslim life here in America, and to be the model community that Allah wants us to be, inshallah. I want to begin today's program reading from the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, 195th ayah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wa anfiku fi sabilillahi wa la tulku bi aydikum illa takluka. Wa ahsanu in allaha yuhibbul muhsinin. Sadakallahu Adim. In a translation, with the last name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And spend of your substance in the cause of Allah. And make not your own hands contribute to your destruction. But do good, for Allah loveth those who do good. Sadakallahu Adim. Allah speaks the truth, and surely Allah's words are true. Alhamdulillah. So it's been a little while. We took the month of Ramadan off from AM360, and main reason was it's tax season. So you know, I've been really swamped. Alhamdulillah, Allah has caused my business to increase much, and so I figured it's best for me to get some rest, if I could, because I've been rolling since January, the 1st of January I've been rolling, and I got, well, what's this, the 11th, of April, so we got to count a day, five more days until the deadline. And I'll be rolling all the way through it, and at the end of Ramadan, I'll probably have about 125 extensions, because I can't get all of them done. And I wasn't going to tell them to go to Islam Block or somewhere else, so I convinced them of the wisdom of getting an extension, and I would have time to do the return. And most of them were okay with it. And we can talk, you know, if you have any questions about taxes, you can feel free to press 1 to get in the queue during the course of the program. And we can answer them and clear up a lot of the myths that's flowing. But one of the things I did want to talk about, and, you know, alhamdulillah, we coming off of Ramadan and getting back to the regular hustle and bustle and the things that we do when it's not Ramadan, but some of the good qualities and traits and habits that we acquire during Ramadan, we hope that they continue. And definitely we hope that Allah continues to bless you for your efforts and your intentions and things that you do even beyond Ramadan until the next year, next Ramadan, inshallah. Now, I was listening to Brother Henry talk about how easy it was. Even for me. Didn't have any in terms of food and water. Didn't have any problems completing the fast at all, alhamdulillah. So anyway, in the absence, you know, a lot of things were happening. In a general point of view, a lot of things were happening during our absence that I probably could have talked about, but since we weren't on the air, I couldn't talk about it. But it's one of the things that's kind of weighed on me. I got to talk about this. And this is something that happened here in North Carolina, you know, in North Carolina. And in case any of you missed it, I wanted to just talk about it. And if any of you on the air are listening are from North Carolina, then you'll be, I'm sure you know about it and we'll be dealing with it in the upcoming days. North Carolina could conceivably elect its first African-American governor. North Carolina's never had an African-American governor. And it just came off in the last 4 years, it had its first African-American lieutenant governor, which was historic. But the problem is, the guy's a nut. I mean, I'm saying it. To me, that's my assessment of his term in office. And he says a lot of things that has turned out to be very popular with certain segments of North Carolina society and the electorate. And I'm not holding it against him. I don't hate him, but he's Republican. He's Republican, which doesn't have to be a bad thing. But he's a nut. And he's an opportunist. So when he was running for the Republican nomination for governor, he won. He won. The presidential candidate, Donald John Trump, came to North Carolina and appeared at his camp. The gentleman's name is Mark Robinson, and appeared at his campaign, one of his campaign rallies. And Trump gave him a name. Well, here, I'm going to play this clip and let you hear it for yourself. Just a minute.
This is Martin Luther King on steroids, okay? Now, I told that to Mark. I said, I think you're better than Martin Luther King. I think you are Martin Luther King times two.
So, as you heard, Trump gave him a name. So when I refer to candidate Robinson, I refer to him as MLK2X. So if you ever hear me say that in the future, you know exactly who I'm talking about, MLK2X. Because according to Trump, he's Martin Luther King times two. Times two. And keep in mind that Trump probably doesn't know anything about Martin Luther King other than what the general stuff is about King. And yet, knowing him, he probably said he was a communist. But he's trying to get African-American votes. So he figures doing that would win him some votes from amongst African-Americans. After all, the one that he endorsed is an African-American. Or is it? Think about it. So then, to show you how off the chain this brother is, and I'm only calling him brother because that's the terminology we use when we refer to an African-American man as African-American. We say brother. But really, I'm using a small b, by the way. So one of the craziest things this guy said was on reparations. So I'm gonna play this little clip that he has, where MLK2X says that African Americans owes the Caucasian reparations. Here's the clip.
There are some people that were talking about reparations in this country. They wanted reparations. And I remember I made this particular liberal so angry at me because I told them right to their face, nobody owes you anything for slavery. If you want to tell the truth about it, it is you who owes. It's you who owes. Why do you owe? Because somebody in those fields took stripes for you. Somebody after those fields were ended and slavery was ended, somebody had to walk through Jim Crow for you. Somebody fought wars and died for you. Somebody lived less than because they didn't have what you have, and they did it for you. There are people in their graves right now, and they are there because they were willing to stand up and fight for you. Those folks on the Edmund Pettus Bridge carrying American flags, take that, Colin Kaepernick, living in a society that he could scarcely acknowledge, something that he has never known, living with a bigotry that none of us can imagine. Carried American flags on that bridge. And when they were hit upside the head with nightsticks and shot with water hoses and knocked to the ground, they got up and picked those flags up and kept marching. And they did it for you. Nobody owes you anything. If anybody owes, it's you. Because you've been the benefactor of freedom. You are the one that owes. And what do you owe? You owe it to them to get up off your tail and get to school. And when you get to school, you owe it to them to get up off your tail at school and get to work and get some learning in your head. And once you get that schooling in your head and get out of that school, you owe it to them to get to work. And then when you get to work and you get married, you owe it to them to take care of your children and not let the government take care of your children. It's you who owe. Nobody owes you a single solitary thing. The sacrifice and blood that has been laid out in this nation on your behalf, there is a bill at your feet for it. It's time you got up off your tail and went and go pay it.
Now, let me give some context to what audience he was speaking to. And you can imagine what audience he was speaking to. Full of Caucasians. Many of them that are probably historically in their families, the recipients of all this free labor that was given and offered. So in one sense, and I listened to the thing, in one sense, he's right. He's right in one sense. that we as a people owe our ancestors. For what they had to go through and endure in America, that we owe our ancestors. But what he's not saying is, created the situation caused our ancestors to take stripes, that caused our ancestors to go through Jim Crow, that caused our ancestors to die. Who created that society, that situation. Now, he's right, I owe my people, because of what they went through, I owe them to have good actions and good respect and a level of respect. I owe them, but that's not the question. I owe them reparations. I need to stand up for what they went through and to do better. But that has nothing to do with reparations. Those people he's speaking to are probably ones that benefited from that, and they're the ones that owe us reparations for that. Now, I know there's some of you that say, well, we don't need reparations. Okay. But, you know, don't let them off the hook. I'm not waiting on them to do reparations. I have a moral obligation. I have good actions. I have that moral obligation for me and for Las Vegas. And for those of us that are not Muslim, that might be Christian, I still have an obligation to do that. But I wasn't on the stage when he was making that. I wasn't in the audience when he was making that comment, so I would have questioned that. And I got one more I'm going to play, then I see some hands are coming up. One more. I live in North Carolina, so I'm trying to get ready because this guy can't be governor. Anyway, the last one, and he's speaking at a Republican women's rally on this one. And he suggests that he wanted to go back to the time when women couldn't vote. He longs for those times. So here it is.
Republicans are the party of freedom and equality.
Yes.
This narrative about Republicans being racist and cannot stand Mexican people and black people and women is ridiculous. Idiotic guy was on stage with Candace Owens a few days ago and asked her, what America are we going back to make America great again? The one where women couldn't vote or black people were swinging from trees? I would say to him if I was standing in front of him, I absolutely want to go back to the America where women couldn't vote. Do you know why? Because in those days we had people who fought for real social change and they were called Republicans. And they are the reason why women can vote today. Those days that he talked about when black folks were swinging from trees, guess who it was out there fighting to bring that to an end, to bring Jim Crow to an end? It was Republicans. So that's the America we want to bring back. We want to bring back the America where Republicans and principles and true ideas of freedom rule.
All right. That was the last one, last tape. And what homeboy doesn't realize that the Republican Party back in 1898 is not the same Republican Party in 2023 or 2024. I think it was 2023 when he made that speech. It is not the same Republican Party. You know. And I wouldn't trust the Republican Party to fight for freedom for me today. When a lot of them are former Dixocrats, and they were Democrat back in 1898. And he's right. There were a lot of stone cold racists in the Democratic Party, but they left the Democratic Party and went and joined the Republicans. Now, so it ain't the same party. It's transformed with that. You know, so I just wanted to say that. And I wouldn't want to go back to those days so that the Republicans are fighting for my freedom. The current batch of Republicans, that's trying to keep African Americans from voting right now with draconian voting laws and stuff they're trying to do. So I wouldn't trust that. All right. So anyway, that is who we possibly can have as the first African American governor, and I would gladly forego that designation this time for some sanity up in Raleigh, North Carolina. Let's play this quick PSA and I have two callers on the line. Callers, I'll be right with you. Please, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this message.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
All right, this is Adam B. out here on Money Sense on AM360 on this Thursday morning, April the 11th. And I do have a couple of callers right now. And if anybody else wants to make a comment, just press 1 to get in the queue. Let's go to the phone lines. They record 334-419, 334-419. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam and Eid Mubarak.
Eid Mubarak, okay. Yes, sir.
My friend Michael Hameen calling from Jacksonville, Florida. My family on my father's side came out from around Charlotte, North Carolina. So I have a connection with North Carolina in that regard. And the history of North Carolina in terms of cooperation, I'm thinking in particular of the devastating historical event of the Wilmington duly elected government being overthrown, a violent coup to get rid of the duly elected government, which was a mix of African Americans and Caucasians. And this gentleman, he's kind of skirting around certain aspects of the truth, but it's very much what they call it. It's a narrative that is put together to appeal to the Caucasian audience in particular, like the Herschel Walker candidacy running for elected office in Georgia, in my opinion. And I have been a part of in Alabama when I lived in Alabama for a short time. I was a card carrying Frederick Douglass, Booker T. Washington Republican, and I worked with a brother by the name of Richard Finley, and I found that the Republican Party of Alabama really didn't want to show any effort to support those African American members of the party. In other words, they really preferred that the thinking of African Americans in Alabama, you know, stay in the mind of almost like the Democratic Party being a church, and our support being given without any real thought to the Democratic Party based on emotions. So I observed that directly, and you know, how the Republican Party appeals to the kind of person, and I won't call him brother. You know, I've taken on a kind of discipline, whether they be Muslim, Christian, if they're black, you know, and they're acting against the interests of African American people, as I understand it, and others besides me understand it. You know, there's an old saying: you might be my color, but you're not my kind. So I give my kind the appellation of brother, and but not people that I see like this guy, you know,
like we say, all our skin folk ain't our kin folk. That's how we say.
That's another one, and I completely agree with that. And lastly, my friend, I have noticed the pattern that when the Republic, I know all about all this fear tactics, and you know things being taken away, and you know you can see the fascism in Donald Trump and some of these other folks. You can see it, but I have noticed that when the Republicans come into office, the mindset for a time changes, and we say, well, oh, hell, they're not going to do nothing for us. We need to do something for ourselves. And just like the Mexicans and the Asians in particular, and you've got the Amish people and folks like that that are not – they depend on their own government, you know, their own leadership. Mm-hmm. To make a place for themselves in America, and that's available to us as African Americans, and in particular the Muslim community. And I thank you for allowing me to say that. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for that point, brother. Appreciate it. Alhamdulillah. And contact your family up in Charlotte area and tell them, don't go for it. All right.
Yes, sir.
All right, brother. Alhamdulillah. Let's go to the next caller. Thank you, brother. Let's go to the next caller, area code 727-741.
Assalamu alaikum. Alaikum assalam and Eid Mubarak. Martha Nyla here calling from
Eid Mubarak,
Florida. Praise be to Almighty God. Okay, there's so many things on my mental agenda lineup, and I'm going to go here first. Stepping back and noticing the movement of political arena. And I took note that in the 1964, Johnson being on the Democratic, being president and going into the Civil Rights Act, I mean, producing that, I should say amending it or what have you. But if you can look back, everyone, and see that transition, that's when you noted that those who were Democrats, Southern, they switched nationally over to become Republican because they did not like that civil rights process
right.
take place. Now then, and coming forward, so that then we had the Tea Party that became in 2008, became very domineering to overpower the Republican Party that was appearing to lean to some of the justices that were being requested for a more uniform public arena of the certain laws. Now we have for everyone. Now we have what we have in front of us now. I don't know what to call it, a soap opera or whatever. And no matter how impractical it may sound, it still is a mob ruling kind of force within the Republican Party. So now, but we're not to be fooled by any sense of the word, by what we're expecting. We, Now, I can only speak from the connection I have as an African-American and the history and everything, and I know what I want is to level the policy field so that the opportunities that we have stay and that those opportunities that are being what you call it when you're under a current, like a current flowing underneath that you don't really see. And I'm going to point now to the prison situation. We call it prison reform, but the whole process, while the question was on the table about are we going to deal with prison reform, what was being enacted was this, these policies to produce three times you're out, three strikes you're out, but the whole, it's all back into the labor enforcement, labor, free labor for companies that are privatizing, given the privatization of prison. Can you imagine? I mean, it's no imagination now. 2014, it started here in Florida. I don't know where else, the other states, but definitely now they're assessing it, saying it's not operating the way that they, quote unquote, intended for it to operate. But the label is rehabilitation. So to the Muslim community, specifically Muslim African Americans, we look at the code that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, where he left me, with Medina, excuse me. And I say continue because there are those that are looking at it to enact certain policies and laws here. But we really, truly, truly have to make it more out, aware, open, and connecting. And those areas I won't go into now, but it definitely takes our action in the local areas where we are. So praise be to Allah for North Carolina. Praise be to Allah for Florida and for Texas, for those states that really stood out in the enslavement period, that, you know, they showed their hand, and all the other states that didn't want to concur with the 1864 situation, 1865. I'll stop right there. Yes, thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
All right, thank you very much. We're looking at Islam. Thank you very much, Sister Martha. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. We got 914-434.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. Eid Mubarak.
Muhammad, how's it going, bro? Eid Mubarak, bro.
Going good, going good. My thoughts on your business, maybe you're going to have to expand and probably open another office or something like that.
Well, no. It'd be nice, brother, but as I'm entering the autumn years of my profession, brother, that's a lot. But anyway, that's a whole different story, brother. I'm not sure how much longer work-wise I'm going to be out there, brother. It's not as easy as it used to be, but alhamdulillah. Thank Allah for the able to produce the income that we have, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess that's all I have to say in reference to.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
About, we're in a situation now. We got about 6 or 7 months before the election for the new president. And at this time, we don't have a choice, really. You know what President Biden said he's going to do. He's going to continue to finance Israel with finance, money, and technology, whatever else they have, in order to continue to eliminate the genocide of the Palestinian people. That's what he said he's going to continue to do. On the other side,
that's what he's doing. Even though it says that he's making strong comments to Netanyahu, but the reality is he might be saying in front of the camera one thing, but what he's doing is looking behind it and winking and nodding to Biden, you know, don't believe, you know, send the bombs anyway. I got a text message, I guess, from the Biden campaign, and they asked me, was I going to vote for Biden? And I wish it was a type of text I could respond back to and ask one question. Are they going to still drop their bombs?
Hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. He said he's
going to ask me a question. Let me ask you a question. Y'all still going to drop the bombs? So that text wouldn't reach where it needed to reach. So
right.
we're in a dilemma, brother. We're in a dilemma. Inshallah, we try to.
And on the other end, you know, President. Mm-hmm. President Trump said he's going to do. He's going to continue to do what Hitler tried to do. He will become a world dictator. So that's where we are. We don't even have a choice.
Yeah. I guarantee you that if he was in office, the same bombs would still reach Israel. You understand? They were still sending bombs over Israel. So it ain't Biden. It's American. Whatever happened, the American agreement to support them irregardless. I don't see anybody in Congress trying to overturn that.
No.
But that ain't that is not a Biden thing. That's some kind of agreement behind the scenes that we don't even understand, brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if Trump was president, they still get the bomb. Remember, he was the one that moved to remove the capital of Israel into Palestine. Mm-hmm. I mean, to Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm. Jerusalem.
Which undermined any idea of a separate Palestinian state. So
mm-hmm.
We just have to be active and continue. I know during the Democratic primaries, I just put no preference.
No preference.
No preference.
Now we should think about running from us, for our president.
Yeah.
Write in the ticket, write in a person's name.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like no preference because there ain't enough of us to make a difference, brother, in that regard. But the political stuff has to be done long in advance before that happens so that we would have some influence.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have the kind of money that AIPAC got. You know what I mean? And they spend a lot of money.
We got it.
We got
the money. We got the money.
We don't have we don't have targeted, compiled money to do that. We can't even support our own institutions.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? We can't even support our own institutions. So we don't have any targeted, compiled money to do that. We can't do like the Hispanics do and whatever and build economic base.
So I guess the question goes back to that. Why everyone else can do it, the Hispanics, I'd say everyone else can do it but us. Why is that? We know everyone else does it. Why can't we do it?
That shows you how bad we were made in this system that we can't do it for ourselves. The Honorable Muhammad said that. He said, beg people for something you should be doing for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And we have not seen that. We look in our communities, there is no economic base. Ethnic groups still come over and build economic base in our community and take the money from us and go build their wealth. So we got to start it you know, we got to start something amongst a community base that we have. That's the Muslim community. I'm not saying it's not happening, but it's not happening enough. But we need to concentrate on that. Right. That takes sacrifice.
Thank you for taking my comments.
Mm-hmm. All right, brother. Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
All right.
Eid Mubarak, Brother Muhammad. We'll talk to you.
Yeah, Eid Mubarak.
Thank you very much for calling. All right. Let's go to okay, let's go to the next caller. Error code 727-408.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. We thank you to Allah for the Eid. And inshallah, you know, we continue to be sincere, and Allah will see that we prosper. And praise be to Allah. We thank Allah that He has given us an intellect and through our obedience and our sincerity to our religion, our way of life, we can see just how weak Shaitan schemes are. So alhamdulillah for that. And I was trying to figure out, I think I had made my point kind of very clear on the fact that not voting for Trump. And I think the better thing for me to do is to put it like this, because I want us to not let a situation cause us to go against what I consider our common sense, or we feel disloyal to our thing as being Muslim. But let's do this. Let's vote against not having Trump in there. We're not voting for Biden. Now, don't vote for Biden, but vote for not having Trump in there. I think that might be the appeal. That might be what I could say that would be much better than what I have been saying. Let's vote not to have Trump in there. I think that sounds pretty sensible. So praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam. That's a thought. I mean, my vote in the first, in 2020, I had a campaign, ABT, and that was anybody but Trump. And since then, I noticed that since that time, when I go on social media, there are few vocal Muslims that are against Democrats in general, and they say they're not supporting. But if I say something against Trump, they start talking about Biden. Let me know they're supporting Trump. So I said, and then I realized, I said, these are nothing but MAGA Muslims. And I told him, I called him out. I said, brother, you're a MAGA Muslim. And he was insulted. He said, I insulted him by calling him a MAGA Muslim. Stuck for Allah. Well, if all you can do is try to justify Trump by talking about Biden, then that shows who you support. So anyway, that was interesting. So I'm going to play this PSA and I come right back. I got another caller, two more callers on the line. I'm going to come back and take those callers. We'll be right back after this message.
There's a place where words make people. A place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7, Muslim hosted. From religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM 360 where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
And by law, surely the world needs to be remade. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Area code 779-770. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. This is Hashim Kamau from Rockville, Illinois. Eid Mubarak, bro.
Eid Mubarak, bro. How you doing, sir?
Okay, I'm doing excellent. I'm listening at the program, brother. You're absolutely right. It's not Biden or Trump. Although it's his whole country. You're going to stop the bomb? They're not going to stop the bomb. And the brother talking about we owe our people who got hung and hanging from a tree. We don't owe them anything. They stood up like Prophet Muhammad, like they did. Every prophet stood up as a human being. All praise to the true Allah. We don't know about nothing but Allah. Now all we got to do is stand up and do what's right. You know what's right. Buying and trading, you know, I'm not no good. The whole system. But it's behind both of them. But anyway, we just need to stand up and do what's right. Didn't have the Raja D. Muhammad be giving the sins right with the general. But we know what to do. Like you said, we just not doing it. Anyway, but I'm like...
That's long. Thank you very much, brother. Alhamdulillah. Appreciate that. Eid Mubarak. We just need to stand up and do what we're supposed to do. And that's the bottom line. We need to get involved. I mean, this whole idea, and I was asking the brothers on Facebook that I was having a debate with, and they accused me of being everything but a child of Satan because I had the gall to talk about their boy, right? And then they accused me of being for abortion. I haven't waited over on abortion. They accused me of being for the LGBT community. I ain't waited on anything like that. You know, they tried to, but their job was to try to embarrass me. No, I'm not for any of those things, but I am against Trump, period. So you had to be careful. And then I asked them one simple question. Well, who did you vote for? He said, well, brother, you can't ask people who they voted for. That's our constitutional protected right. They probably would tell me they didn't vote at all. And I was waiting on them to say that. But then you have no right to ask me, criticize who I voted for. If you didn't vote at all, you got your own problems. Let's go back to phone lines. I think this is 334-419. Assalamu alaikum. Yes. 334-419. Are you on mute?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Michael Hameen, return caller from Jacksonville, Florida.
Yes,
these conversations are just showing us what Imam Muhammad described as a problem. He was speaking specifically to Chicago audience in his last public address, but I see it in terms of a problematic issue for us to look at with the African-American people in general and the Muslims who say they follow Imam Muhammad specifically. Too moody. We're too moody. We're too emotional-based, even what we consider our logic. I've heard scholars talk about the criminal enterprise of America, you know, and that kind of terminology. And they know the history better than I do, but their disregard for the fact that the creator that they say they believe in has never been away from the controls, and that these things that are occurring in our history that have occurred in our history and that are occurring in our future and present day circumstances are under the control of Almighty God in terms of letting certain things play out in his plan. And as an example, in my conclusion, we have been told about worldwide conversion to Al-Islam because of the way the suffering Palestinians are dealing with the oppression, the genocide, in terms of how they are committed to their faith and praying to Almighty God for the help and the relief and trusting that that relief mm-hmm. will come. So I'll stop there. You know, these circumstances, you know, people are so afraid. Well, if we let Trump get in, you know, it's all over. Who the hell? That's above your pay grade, really. Mm-hmm. That's really above mm-hmm. the pay grade of these lookers into the future.
Prognosticators.
Yeah. I get a little tongue-tied sometimes with this English.
No, no problem, brother. No problem.
But anyway, thank you for you opening it, letting it be open for discussion. And I know I'm a part of the minority report. I know this, but I trust God. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, sir. Ibn Barak, alhamdulillah. And he's exactly right. Whatever happens, but with the mercy and blessing of God, we just have to deal with it, right? We just have to deal with whatever that might come about. I have my opinion, right? And I've always held that opinion, but I have a right to it. And I'm wishing that our people would be more sophisticated politically. I wish we'd be more sophisticated economically. You know, what's that idea of the four birds? You know, everybody does a lecture on the four birds, right? And looking at that part of the Quran where Allah is talking with the Prophet Ibrahim, and he just wanted to have his mind put at ease. How do you raise the dead? And the Imam I listened to an Imam's lecture on the four birds. He said the mountains, you know, put a portion on the mountains. And the man said, I've never seen a mountain grow up on air. He said, mountains grow up on material things. On material things. They don't rise up on air. They rise up on material things. On their mass of material things. So he said, put four birds on a mountain, on a material establishment, and that establishment could be government, it could be economics, it could be art, and I'm missing one. But anyway, but those are material establishments. And he said, train them and they will come to you. So we need to be on, we need to establish ourselves on the four material establishments, the four mountains, whether it's government, politics, whether it's economics. Somebody help me out with the other two. All right? We need to establish ourselves on those things. And that's what we haven't done. And that's what we should be focusing on doing in this society. And this is the side that we live in. We don't want to tear it down. Some of these brothers, they remind me of how we were in the first resurrection. God's going to destroy America. Y'all remember how it was when we had the energy crisis in America? And they were saying conserving energy. And we go to FRI class, and they told us to turn the thermostat up. Maybe that would help America fall quicker. You know, anyway, we're moving to the close to the end. So I do have a couple of returnees, but we'll bring them on board. Let's go to 779-770. Assalamu alaikum, 779-770.
No, I already spoke, brother. I didn't go out of the queue. Thank you. Talk to someone.
Okay. All right. Thank you, brother. We're looking outside. All right. Go to the next one. 914-434.
914-434. You just said it, Imam Adam. We have to have material establishment. Got to have material establishment. And that's what we have failed to do completely. Going in and out of communities all over America, and you will not see any material establishment. Someone's supplying our food, clothing, and shelter. We have nothing. Ma'am said a couple of days ago, what would happen if our ancestors came back? And they saw the condition we're in with no material establishment. They're telling what they would do with us. No material
establishment. They would probably say we had it better on the plantation.
Yeah.
You're right. I got another caller behind you. Appreciate
All
it,
right.
brother.
You're welcome.
That's what I'm making. All right. 727-408. 727-408.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. Ibu Barak. I'm listening to what Brother Michael said in reference to looking into the insight of how Allah does things. You know, and Imam Muhammad said he came to the conclusion himself that everything that we conceive as might be in bad is bad things are for a future good. So praise be to Allah. But the thing is that we still don't have that crystal ball. So what we do, we deal with our intellect as it is right now, and then Allah will, if that's his will and that's a decree, that will happen. But we still have to deal. We still want to deal with our intellect right now, and praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you very much, Brother Bilal. Eating the bark, brother. All right, we're moving closer to our end of our program. We know that coming next is Imam Yusuf Ramadan, and I didn't get his topic for today, so he's going to have to tell you what he's going to talk about. I'm sure there'll be no problem with him. But I thank everyone for tuning in and being patient and understanding. And then we'll come back next week, inshallah, with another program. Got somebody just raised their hand. First time, I think. We got about a minute left, so brother, 321-917. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes. Wa alaikum assalam. Delacy Umar, Melbourne, Florida. Just wanted to greet everyone, Eid Mubarak, alhamdulillah, and have a best future years. Maybe we can work and establish all these things that we are talking about. Take a specific one of them and build on it, inshallah. Thank you, Imam.
Inshallah. Thank you. Walaikum assalam. And, yeah, everybody should look to take one thing that you might be interested in and join in with others who have the same interest and support it. So you got to start somewhere. And I'm sort of like Brother Henry. We can talk about it, but if you don't move that talk into action, all we're doing is entertaining each other and entertaining ourselves. So I'm hoping, inshallah, that we can work. There are many good efforts going on, and if you find out about it and it's something you want to get involved in, then please go to work and join them and help them, inshallah. All right. I'm out of here. It's time for Imam Yusuf Ramadan to come on board, inshallah. And we'll see you next week, inshallah, next Thursday morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Enjoying the program you're listening to and imagining being part of the solution? You don't have to imagine. Now, wherever you live, wherever you work, you can go beyond the dialogue and network with others committed to being part of the solution. CWSC, and AM360 connect you to the Model Communities National Resource Directory. Register your skills, knowledge, and abilities today at CWSC.us. Because words make people, but it will take people to remake the world.
American Muslim 360 is proud to present the Thursday morning edition of A New Day for Al-Islam in America Radio with your host, Yusuf Ramadan.
As-salamu alaykum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It is peace be unto you. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We'd like to welcome everyone to New Day for Al-Islam in America, American Muslim 360 edition, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. My name is Yusuf Ramadan. This is the program that deals with current events, trending topics, and issues of concern from the Muslim perspective. As we always say, the Muslim perspective is and always should be the human perspective. So we'd like to wish everyone a Eid Mubarak, a blessed Eid. Hope that you have had a blessed Eid yesterday. And we know that it's celebrated for 3 days. Most Muslims celebrate it for 3 days, but the actual Eid was Eid al-Fitr, was yesterday, which is the festival, the feast of the fast breaking, and the celebration of a successful completion of the month of Ramadan, the month of Ramadan. And these are things that we need to bear in mind, you know. That is a month. Ramadan is a month, okay? It's a fast that's conducted during the month of Ramadan. And Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has decreed that there is, in his sight, 29 or 30 days in every month, not just Ramadan. So we can't wait to sight the moon for Shaban or Shawwal, Shaban being the month that precedes Ramadan, and Shawwal being the month that comes after. And it's the moon that must be sighted, because Muslims, like the Jews, utilize a lunisolar calendar. So, you know, people are always coming up, even during the time of Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, coming up with questions to try to gum up the works, to throw what they think would be a wrench into the works, right? To stop the gears of the machine. And the brother came to me. He said that one of his coworkers said to him, "Oh, we had the total eclipse of the sun, and the moon is in between the sun and the earth, and in some place, most places in the country, you couldn't really see it. You saw that something was going on, but you didn't see it become actually black, pitch black." So he said, "Yes, you saw the moon, so Ramadan is over." And I said, "Who saw the moon?" "I didn't, and neither did he. You saw a shadow. You saw something blocking the rays of the sun temporarily. But you didn't see no moon. And we're not looking for the moon. Huh? We're looking for the Hilal, the crescent moon. The new moon is a black moon. And that's what you saw, blackness. Someone had to tell you that it was the moon. You just saw something blocking your vision of the sun." So it comes to what the Imam has taught us,
doesn't it? Perception. It's about perception. There's never a half moon. There's never a quarter moon or a three-quarter moon. There's always a full moon. Always. Where you think the other half went to or another quarter went to is our perception, what we are allowed to see. Huh? So that's what it is. It's perception. You see? So, you know, the brother would say, well, I didn't really know how to answer him. We have to just stop and think. We have to stop and think. And we have to adhere to what Allah has given us, the guidance of Allah, as witnessed and practiced by the life example of Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him. So some people say, oh, maybe leap year had something to do. There is no leap year in our calendar. We have February, 1 month, it's 28, 1 year is 28 days, the next day year is 29 days. We don't have months with 31 days in them. They're either 29 or 30, depending on the sighting of the moon. And if you don't sight the moon, then the next day is the 30th day. And the new month begins to be counted when? The following day. Don't let people try to mess with your head. And you have to understand this yourself. It's important that we understand it. The one sister that was one of my students, she's a grown woman now. I'm getting up there. Her kids are grown. She has a grandchild. And she called me every year. When is Eid? I should be calling you to ask you when Eid is. What are you calling me for? She said, did you sight the moon? Did I sight the moon? Did you? Now, what makes you think that I was even looking? That's not my job to sight the moon. There's people that have that assignment. And they report back to us. And we need to know that person is a trusted person by the community. We need to know the details of that sighting, where it was sighted. And now, due to the miracle of modern technology, we want a picture. If you saw it with your human eye, take a picture. And that's what we got. We got pictures. We got pictures from Fort Myers, Florida. We got pictures from Buffalo, New York, by a friend of mine, Imam Ansari, who was from Queens originally, like me. And he's been the imam up there for many years, many decades, and from Massachusetts. So we got it on the East Coast where it was clear. But it wasn't clear in New York. How in the world could, she's in New York. Why would she ask me if I sighted the moon? How would it be possible for me to sight the moon? Stop making this thing spooky. Y'all too spooky with this thing. Yes, we rely on science, but we also rely on the traditions that it should be sighted in your area with the human eye. And the imam gave us the principle of the continental sighting. So stop making this so difficult. And stop making it spooky. Allah has given us these calculations to calculate, to know the time. Then other people say, oh, it's the first time that we all broke the fast and we had to eat on the same day. No, it's not. No, it is not. And the reason why the other ones, the ones who started fasting on Monday instead of Tuesday, they rely on Saudi Arabia. Now, why would you rely? We're not supposed to all start and stop together. It's supposed to unfold
like the Hajj, the Imam explained. Why would we, right now, it's daytime. It's morning in America. It's morning on the East Coast. So if it was Ramadan, we would be fasting. But when it's daytime here, it's nighttime in Saudi. So what are you calling them for, waiting for them to sight the moon for you for? Well, because those are the real Muslims. They're going to let us know what's going on. We're relying on the real Muslims to tell us what's happening. We're not their sons and their daughters. You have to step up and take responsibility for yourself as an adult. And don't let people make you feel that you're less authentic. You're not really, they have to approve your entry into the world of Al-Islam. No sir, no ma'am. No, not at all. And the brother gave a shahada, and he didn't say ashadu. You're supposed to tell them, ashadu, I bear witness. Not just la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. No, ashadu an la ilaha illallah. Wa ashadu an Muhammad Rasulullah. I bear witness. It's your personal responsibility. If you don't bear witness, what are you taking shahada for? You have to see it with your own eyes. You can't come into the courtroom and get up on the stand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? I do. Yes. Now what happened? Well, my cousin told me, whoa. What you mean your cousin told me? My cousin told me that, were you there, were you present for the car accident or not? No, Your Honor. And the judge is going to say, you excused. Please step down. This is hearsay. You have to have seen it for yourself. You have to have seen it for yourself. You don't see it for yourself, you're not a witness. I don't care how much you trust the other person. And we ask, have you been promised anything? No. Have you been threatened? No. So you're taking your shahada, you're bearing witness, publicly bearing witness, that there's no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger. Yes. That's your shahada. That's your testimony. It's important that we have a handle that we, so people can't come in and twist you up. Their little schemes didn't work. Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him and his companions. Or sometimes they try to trip them up or make them go back and ask Prophet Muhammad certain things to get clarity. And we have to try to read and comprehend, as we said. You know, my cousin recently took shahada, alhamdulillah, a couple of years ago. And he said, well, I can't read the Quran during the month of Ramadan because I have to stop and read the commentary or the tafsir. I have to read the commentary. I have to read the tafsir so I understand what I'm reading. I said, well, then you won't complete it. He said, but I won't be able to complete it. I said, I've read the Quran several times, the entire Quran. And I don't understand everything I'm reading. Or certainly my understanding has become better. Allah has blessed me that you have to seek it. That's what the Night of Power means, the Imam explained. Allah even asks you, and what will explain to you what the Night of Power is? Meaning you don't know. And they still don't know for sure. When does it occur to you that you found the Night of Power? And if you found it, what are you doing it again next year? You already found it, didn't you? What's the proof that you found the Night of Power? We're looking for the Night of Power. What you looking for? What are you looking for? The Imam taught us that it is an expression of curiosity in the human soul to seek him to know God or know his will for us. You can't see him directly. It's like they're talking about the eclipse, and they give you a pair of $5. Oh, don't look at the sun. Don't look at the sun directly. It can be damaging to your eyes. But here's a pair of $5 glasses. That's going to protect your vision. You believe that? You believe that them $5 glasses that you bought, which is really just glasses that they're selling you as a souvenir for New Year's, it's just a way for them to make money. You don't get that? Oh, Billy, ma'am, you know, you're taking all the joy out of it. You know, we having a good time. Yeah, they're using that. The commercial people, the material people are using that to make money off you. You know, no one is supposed to look directly at the sun. One of the imams sent us a picture. He had on the glasses and said, I'm ready. I hope it was a joke, but I'm not so sure. Ready for what? What you trying to see? You're supposed to see the reflection of the light. Not direct look at the sunlight. It will blind you. Your eyes weren't designed for that. Didn't that tell you something? No, your eyes weren't designed for that. But here's a $5 pair of glasses that's going to compensate for that. And now you can look directly at it. We can't be that stupid. But we are. I saw a young sister walking down the street. I mean, looking straight up at the sky. Most of the time they got their head down looking in their phone. But her head was up now, not down, up. And she was walking. You don't know if she would fall into a manhole cover. She wasn't watching where she was going. She's just walking, walking, walking. And somebody said, it's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. I said, really? You need to get out more often. That's the most important, that's the most beautiful thing you ever saw? Wow. Okay, I'll take your word for it. But you need to get out more often. We can't let, you know, the imam told us that this popular culture said, let your mind go this way. No, now let your mind go that way. Look over here. Look over there. Like a magician. Nothing up my sleeve. He taking your attention to his sleeve. I didn't want to look up your sleeve in the first place. He's making you look up his sleeve. Because what's going on, what's really going on, is happening elsewhere. Let your mind go this way. Super Bowl. Let your mind go that way. Basketball championship. NBA. Let your mind go this way. WNBA. Let your mind go this way. March Madness. Let your mind go this way. Valentine's Day. Let your mind go this way. St. Patrick's Day. Let your mind go this way. That way. This way. That way. You listen to New Day for Islam in America. American Muslim 360 edition, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. We have some important announcements for you, so please don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
See the full picture.
Feel the void.
Read the Muslim Journal.
Bringing humanity together.
It's news with truth.
It's journalism with understanding.
Each week, Muslim Journal features the latest headline stories. Get a fresh perspective on American politics with informative editorials on the news and stories that affect you and your community the most. Muslim Journal also features exciting reports from around the globe. Subscribe to the Muslim Journal and stay informed about the world we live in today.
See the full picture.
Subscribe to the Muslim Journal today.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother, Kareem Hamid, inviting you to join in the study group of the lecture of Imam Waraseddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi, broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. The first hour, we shall play a lecture or address from Imam Waraseddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi. And in the second hour, we shall open up the telephone line and share with each other the various beneficial points of interest contained in the lecture or address. So join the study group of the lectures of Imam Waraseddin Muhammad Rahimallah Alayhi on the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose every Saturday at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on American Muslim 360. Let's share. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Waraseddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilize the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Waraseddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
And we're back, Imam Yusuf Ramadan.
Alhamdulillah. And I just wanted to wish you, Brother Imam, Eid Mubarak. I pray that your Ramadan was filled with blessings and very successful and advancement, improvement, and that you enjoyed your Eid as well as all of our those that are listening. Alhamdulillah.
Thank you. And I extend the greetings of Eid Mubarak to all of the Muslims on the planet. Or praise be to Allah. Imam Yusuf, I was faced with a dilemma yesterday concerning the Eid prayer and the celebration of the Eid. You know, we plan, but Allah has already planned. My plan was to attend the Eid prayer here and the celebration. But as manager of this radio station, I was aware that the 30th Jews of the Quran had not been broadcast on the air in the morning. And I spoke with the host, and she said that she was having a problem activating the 30th Jews. And I saw there were believers lined up in the call line waiting to hear the 30th Jews. So I was able to utilize YouTube and my phone to broadcast the 30th Jews, and we were successful at doing that. So the dilemma was, well, do I go to the Eid prayer and the Eid celebration? And the thought came to my mind, Ramadan is the month of the Quran, Kareem. It is the month of the Quran. So you have the wherewithal, share the 30th Jews of the Quran with those that are waiting to hear it. And praise be to Allah, that is what I did. I stop right there, my brother.
Alhamdulillah. Well, you know, I think you made an intelligent decision. People don't understand that the Eid prayer is a supererogatory prayer, is a voluntary prayer, and it's highly recommended. But you are not, just like the Taraweeh prayer, you're not obligated, you know. You're not obligated. This is what I was bringing out. So when we started fasting on that Tuesday, correct? Those in association, we may have never demanded, most of us. But the moon was sighted that Monday night, correct? So they started counting
that was the first night of Ramadan. You see where I'm going with this?
Mm-hmm.
So they started 1, 2, 3. So, and they made Taraweeh prayer that night, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made Taraweeh prayer. He taught us that. He came out the first night, and they made Taraweeh prayer. He came out the second night, he made Taraweeh prayer. The third night, he didn't come out. And they said, what happened? What happened to the prophet? He didn't come out. He said, had I come out the third night, you would have said that it was fired. So he knew the inclination in the people, right?
Yeah.
He knew the inclination in his people. And we are still his people. So we have that inclination. So, what I'm saying is, and I had this discussion with some imams several years ago now, some that I respect. Not that I don't respect them all, but I mean some that I've learned from that have taught me many things. But they just happen to be wrong in their calculation. They said, one of them said, oh, yeah. I said, if you count like that, the nights, it's, what is it? It's 29 or 30 days of what? Fasting. The fasting is done when? In the daytime. Not at night. So that's when you count the days. So he said to me, one of them said, oh, I fasted 28 days many a time. I said, well, brother man, I don't dispute you, but you got some days to make up. The fast is for 29 or 30 days. That's it. Ain't no such thing as a 28-day fast.
No.
Now, if I'm, please disabuse me of that notion. But I'm going by what Allah said. The month is either 29 or 30 days. So the fast is either 29 or 30 days because the fast is a month. This Ramadan is a fast. So I hope that, and I think that you made an intelligent decision. Matters are judged by intention. Matters are judged by intention. You know, it's a guide for us. It's not like what they used to call it, Arthur Murray dance studio. Put your, and they had footprints on the floor. You got to put your foot here, and you put your foot there. We don't dance like that.
No.
Yeah. We are more creative people. So, you know, Allah is telling us, he's given us a guide. So you had to make a decision. And certainly, we don't believe that Allah said, oh, you didn't make the eat. You put on the Quran instead. You won't get credit for this, Ramadan. Alhamdulillah. So we're grateful. We're grateful that this is our discourse, that these are the things that we're speaking about. So if we have anybody who would like to join us and share their Eid celebration or their Ramadan memories with us, we'll take some calls from them now.
Yes, sir. I see two hands are raised. I believe they are from the last broadcast.
Okay.
But I'll open up the new hand that was raised, that pressed one on the phone, and then return to those whose hands were already raised from the last broadcast. Error code 334-419. Assalamu alaikum. Michael Hameen.
Alaikum assalam. And Eid Mubarak to everyone.
Eid Mubarak.
I thank you. Thankful to you, Imam, for your sharing the logic. And Imam Muhammad left us with a focus on a language environment.
That's
pointing
right.
Pointing to it physically in terms of the Nation of Islam when I first heard him describe this language environment. And then his expression of an oppressive language environment in the society
And then it just following the logic to its conclusion is the obligation on men and women, believing men and women, to be aware of the obligation of creating a healthy language environment that that is in opposition to this oppressive language environment that hurts our souls. And, you know, you've discussed early the majoring in minors, so to speak, you know, of a universal following of the sighting of the moon versus the natural logic connected with how the prayers operate. You know, the prayers operate like an unfolding. You know, we face the Kaaba for our salat as an orientation, and then as we follow the movements of the sun, we make our salats. And the same in terms of the following of the moon. The moon doesn't unfold for everyone at the same time. It's a progression, so to speak. So I appreciate you sharing that logic, and we need to be more supportive of one another who are willing to share the logic that Al-Islam has brought us to, that the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, represents, and that Imam Muhammad was blessed with a special perception of that logic and following it to its conclusion. Thank you.
Thank you.
Eid Mubarak.
Eid Mubarak to you, my brother. Anyone else? Rabbi Mel?
Bilal, I have opened up your mic, 727-408.
As-salamu alaykum and blessed Eid, alhamdulillah. There's several things I have to that I want to ask about. And first of all, I'd like to prep it with the fact that I know that the Tahrir and the Tahajjud, there's not obligatory. So I want to put that out there before I ask these questions. But these are things that I cannot find answers to that I really want to find out about. For the Tahrir prayer, can we still do the Tahrir prayer now? And I'm more than sure that we can do the Tahajjud prayer, but the Tahrir prayer, can we continue to do that now? Forever on?
No, the Tahrir is only performed during the month of Ramadan. Yes.
Okay, and that's another thing I need to find out about too. Do we make the Dan or the Iqama for our Sunnah rakaz and also, you know, for the Tahajjud?
No. Well, there's no Sunnah. There's no Adan and no Ikama for the Eid.
Thank you, brother. Thank you very much. I didn't want to go through life not knowing that. Thank you very much. Praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Okay. I'm going to answer those hands that were raised already. 914-434. Assalamu alaikum. Our brother Muhammad Sharif, assalamu alaikum, Eid Mubarak. Okay, we'll move forward. Error code 779-770, assalamu alaikum, Eid Mubarak.
Wa alaikum assalam, Eid Mubarak. Yes, thank you very much, ma'am. The brother Yusuf Ramzan is correct. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he only came out 3 nights, he says personal prayer. And he solved that problem. Then I think it was Umar, the one that came out. They was praying in the masjid. They was sporadically praying here and there. So he came out and unified it. Say, that's good for the Imam. Now, what does Allah say? Allah say, obey me and my Rasulullah. He didn't say obey not the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So they have us all confused. And everybody following Saudi Arabia, they were both praying whole Quran to Rabbi prayer. That's not the Sunnah. The Rabbi say, follow Allah, so follow me and my messenger. I had to read the message many times. I said, that's not following the Sunnah of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I said, you have to keep to Rabbi prayer. That's a personal thing. Anyway, thanks for email, Ramadan. You could correct, 100% correct. We don't have to do that. That's not the Sunnah of Allah. And I said, don't follow me, my Rasulullah. And that solved the whole problem, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, is there anyone else that would like to share? Okay, then we have a hand that has been raised. Let me see if I can get this number correct. Okay. Error code 7. No, that's Bilal once more. 727-408.
Yes. And also in reference to what the brother said, is also those in authority over you. So Umar was the authority that was over at that time. So what Umar did was a good innovation in the religion. So I wanted to add that to give the brother a little bit more insight on that, so he can, you know, you'll feel a certain way about those who in the masjid that continue to do the tawhid together like that. So praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Imam Yusuf, I heard a report that the federal government is going to start using lunar time. Because time on the moon is different than time here on the earth. It's a little bit faster. And but during the lunar landing, they were way off course because they were using earth time. So there is a movement to start utilizing the lunar time by the federal government, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah.
Praise to Allah. Okay, is there anyone else? 779-770. I see your hand is still raised.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. In reference to Brother Bilal, in his effort to correct me, he's wrong about that. Allah says that if you have a problem, you would demand the Muslims take it to Allah and Rasulullah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, yeah, the scholars, that's later on, but Allah say up and beyond that, if you have a problem, to bring it to Allah and Rasulullah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That nullifies Umar. So that solved that problem. If that's the problem, we already talked about it. Go to Allah and Rasulullah. That's the end of the story, brother. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. Okay, we see no one else in the queue that's willing to share, be charitable in the time of Eid, share what Allah has blessed you with. Praise be to Allah. Okay, Imam Yusuf, I see no one else at this time.
Okay, alhamdulillah. We just want to continue. Well, we'll take a break for another PSA, Brother Ben.
Yes, sir.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Inshallah, when I grow up, I'm going to join CWSC. I'm going to help remake the world for you and me. I'm going to be part of MCNRD and contribute my talent, my expertise. I'm going to apply for a CWSC scholarship someday in honor of a pioneer. I pray I grew up to be a leader, a strong woman, courageous with no fear. But until that day, I need you to stand in my place and be part of the group intellect until I can join the race. Visit CWSC.us because together we can remake the world.
And we are back. Imam Yusuf Ramadan.
Alhamdulillah. So,
if I have a request of you, if I may share a statement from the convener of Imams in association with Imam Warisuddin Muhammad, a statement on the situation in Gaza and the plight of the Palestinians. Yes, sir.
Yes.
All right. There is a quote from the Quran, the sixth chapter, 98th ayat. And it is he who produced you from a single soul. So there is a place of dwelling and a repository. We detail our signs for people who understand. Another quote from the Quran, O you who believe, stand out firmly for Allah as witnesses to fair dealing, and let not the hatred of others prevent you from being just. Be just. Let me see now. Okay, yes. Okay. Wait a minute, pardon me. Yeah. Be just. That is nearer to piety and reverence, and respect Allah, for Allah is well acquainted with all that you do. The fifth surah, eighth ayat. And here's a statement from Imam Warisuddin Muhammad. In our human creation, we are all equal, and that human creation is the foundation for all other identities. Quote by Imam Warisuddin Muhammad, delivered at a youth Dawah class in Chicago, Illinois, 2002. Okay, it goes on to read, the conveners of the Imams associated with the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad support the universal right of self-determination, freedom, justice, and equality of all human beings. We thoroughly condemn the tragic loss of life, destruction of homes, schools, places of worship, and the displacement of hundreds of thousands of human beings in the disputed geography of Israel/Palestine, including the Gaza Strip. Therefore, we support a ceasefire between all parties involved, Israel and Hamas, and the Palestinian Authority. We also urge and support a sincere, sustained effort to resurrect a comprehensive two-state solution for lasting peace. In our human nature is our equality. The scriptures of our different faith traditions tell us that we have originated from a single soul. We have a common origin. And as people of faith, we believe we have a common destiny. In addition, our human life, identity, aspirations, possessions, property, and places of worship are universally recognized as sacred rights. Today, history and circumstances have brought people of different faiths and backgrounds to one place. Unfortunately, that convergence have resulted in one set of people gaining land and power at the expense of another. This situation has also occurred throughout history. Usually, one set of people claims a special or exclusive right to supplant the property and rights of the existing inhabitants of a land. Okay, resulting in the segregation and a subjugation of the indigenous people. In order to justify this condition, the supplanting population must also create a false rationale based on their inherent superiority. entitlement. This scenario has played out all over the world, in Africa, Asia, America, and occupied Palestine / Israel. When this situation exists, a grave injustice has been done, and people of fairness and goodwill must speak out. In the disputed territory of occupied Palestine / Israel, this picture has resulted in the indigenous Palestinian population losing rights to their land for over 100 years. They have also been forced into segregation, subjugation, and military occupation in isolated enclaves on a fraction of their original homeland. The indigenous Palestinian population has also been deprived of the basic human rights of freedom and self-determination. And when they practice their natural right to self-determination, the people of Palestine must be given the universal rights of self-determination, freedom, justice, and equality, which they have been too long denied. Palestinians who have been expelled from their lands as a result of illegal and unjust confiscations should be allowed to return or given just compensation. Equitable demonstration of land, equitable distribution of land and natural resources should occur based upon the relative populations of both Israel and Palestine. Finally, the universal criteria for justice and equality should be based upon our common human identity. Signed by Imam Bashir Ali, National Convener of Imams, on behalf of the Conveners of Imams. That ends that statement. Imam Yusuf Ramadan.
Thank
you for allowing me to share.
And I definitely signed off on that statement as well. And I pray that we all do. You know, we used to say that Islam is freedom, justice, and equality. And the Imam said it certainly is that. It certainly is that. He said, if it's not freedom, justice, and equality, then I don't want it. You know? But it is definitely freedom, justice, and equality. And we are alive. We're grateful to Allah to still be alive, to see the beginning of the end of that terrible, horrible, evil ideology, you know, played out through colonialism, neocolonialism, that goes back to the bliss nature. I'm bigger than him. I'm better than him. You can even see the reporting. Even the reporting of the war is designed to show you that they value one set of people above and more so than another set of people. You know, they talk about the hostages that are being held, but they don't talk about the hostages that the Israelis are holding of the Palestinian people in their prisons openly and letting you know that they're holding them. They're telling you that those are prisoners that have committed crimes. But these people have no jurisdiction over the Palestinian people. They have no legitimate jurisdiction over the Palestinian people. They're not part of Israel, which is a settler nation. That's what the Imam called it. An outlaw nation. A settler nation. And one brother said to me, I don't hear the Imams under W.D. Muhammad speaking out against Israel. I said, you don't know the Imam. The Imam said that publicly, that they were a settler nation, an outlaw nation. I remember the Imam came to New York and went on a very popular show, big radio show, that was hosted by a Jewish host. And when he spoke against Israel, the man's own listeners called up and accosted him. You mean to tell me you got this man coming on here and talking about Israel like that? And he was a very intelligent man. He said, you asked Imam Muhammad a question, he gave you his answer. That's what you want me to do. What you want me to do? He's our guest. He came on here and agreed to be a guest, and you asked him a question. He gave you the answer. Now, if you don't like it, okay, I understand you might not like it, but that's his answer. So the imam was very well-respected by those who are intelligent, those who are in the know. He was respected in very high circles. I'm telling you what I see with my own eyes, you know, how the imam was respected both in the Muslim world and outside of the Muslim world. We know that he spoke at the Vatican. He spoke at the Vatican, and Brother Sharif brought that to our attention. Why we should bring that, we should let other people know that he spoke at the Vatican, right? And a lot of people are not aware of that. Everybody's not invited. And the imam told us, he said, they weren't going to let him speak. They weren't going to let the imam speak, even after he had come all the way to Rome and was in Vatican City. He said they gave him a test. He saw it as a test. And they asked him some questions, thinking that he was going to curb his answer or make his answer more politically correct. And they said, well, we're not so sure that they're going to give you an audience with the Pope. He's busy right now, and we'll let you know. And the imam answered honestly, truthfully. He gave him his answer, whether they liked it or not. And they came back and said, he's ready to see you now. He said, I believe if I would have gave an answer, a politically correct answer, you know, not trying to be offensive, that, you know, we respect our Christian brothers and sisters, but we have to tell the truth, too. We have to tell the truth that we don't believe that Jesus is God or Son of God. That's not our belief. We don't believe he was crucified, died, was buried, and on the third day he was. We don't believe that. You're entitled to believe it, but we're entitled to believe the way we believe. Alhamdulillah. So I guess there's no other callers. We're running out of time anyway.
Yes, sir. I'm going to check the board. I have went to another page. I don't see, let me see now. Okay, yes. 334-419 and 779-770 have raised their hands once more. We got about five minutes, so please may your statements be brief and to the point, if you would, please. Error code 779-770, Eid Mubarak.
Eid Mubarak, Assalamu alaikum. This is Hashim again from Rockville, Illinois. I got one statement. It's very brief. The reason why African Americans don't have no economical base, and the reason why the indigenous people called Indians don't have a, we're almost annihilated in the world scene, is because we have no country we can go refer to help us economically. Raji Muhammad told the same thing. May Allah be pleased with him. Give him his hand one with Jerry. Say, we don't know where we're from. They got us from everywhere. They stupid us everywhere. So Indians don't have no base. They have no people to go back to help to their origin, get economical base to refer to, help them out. So that's why we both are annihilated in this country, in the world. We didn't grow up in the cotton fields. Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, Texas. We came from Africa. Where did we come from? Beyond the West Coast. We had no idea. So they every other race. There's somebody refer back to that. That's why they got together. They can refer back to some country anyway. Thank you.
Waalaikum assalam. Thank you for your commentary. Error code 334-419. I believe this is Michael Hameen once more. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Yes, Michael Hameen, Jacksonville, Florida. I just want to say that we need more of this kind of expression and programming, and we should be thankful for this type of programming and support it financially. This is our media for the freedom of expression of our ideas as Muslims, followers of the Quran and Prophet Muhammad. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we're grateful for AM 360 and CWSV, you know, for giving us this opportunity, this platform. This is bigger than what we think it is. You are so right, my brother. It's bigger than what we think it is to be able to have free expression. Alhamdulillah. And this is why I, you know, make sure that on Thursday mornings I make myself available to do this show and have done so for quite a few years now, you know, alhamdulillah. I'm grateful for the opportunity.
You are host of the month, Imam Yusuf Ramadan. We have recognized your dedication. Praise be to Allah.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you very much. I'm honored. It's definitely an honor. But, yeah, we have to, you know, many people are afraid that they're going to lose their jobs and have lost their jobs for speaking out on that. I just want to say about a very unfortunate event in Philadelphia where there was a shooting where four people were injured at the Eid prayer. You know, this is ridiculous. We have to take charge of our community. This what I believe it stems from is gang activity, where a lot of these gang members have now accepted al-Islam, and this is the reason for it. So, you know, we have to take control of our communities. And so we're coming near. Okay. We're coming to the end of the show. We only got a couple of minutes left. You know, I don't think we have time to take another question. But we pray, Allah, that, you know, we take control of our community. First, we have to take control of our families. That's where it begins. We have to take control of our children, you know, before they grow up into these type of individuals that don't have any respect for the community. So until next time, we're thankful that you're listening in to New Day for Al-Islam in America. American Muslim 360 edition, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. My name is Yusuf Ramadan, and I'd like to thank my beloved brother, Imam Kareem Hamid, for co-hosting with me today and engineering for me. And so until next time, we wish you Eid Mubarak and Assalamu Alaikum.
Assalamu Alaikum. That is the peace that only Almighty God can give be upon you, and that peace obligates us to keep the peace and promote the peace. I'm your host, Michael Hameen, of Not Just Talk on AM360.org. Join us Thursday evening, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We look forward to you being with us, joining our guests from inside the Islamic community as well as outside, those men and women who are community builders. And also, periodically on Thursday evenings, we have open mic where you become our guest. So join us for more of Not Just Talk, conversations related to community building. Again, Assalamu Alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa Eid Mubarak.